This is WHCC in Holland. Time now for Talk of the Town, the program in which you, the listeners, participate with your telephone calls. Our Talk of the Town number is 395-1450. Our guest this morning, Mayor Kurt Dykstra. Good morning, Mayor.
Hey, good morning, Juke. How are you?
Good. Good.
Good.
And
cold, but, you know, who isn't these days, I guess?
I know. We've got to get over that.
Well, in theory, that's going to happen, but theory's not necessarily panning out into reality quite
right,
yet.
Right.
We'll work on it.
Well, it's going to be spring cleanup here before we know it.
Actually, it is right now.
Really?
So, can't you tell? It's springtime. So take out your leaves, your branches, all those kinds of yard clippings, bushes, sorts of things. Bring them out to the street. The city crews will come through. The timing right now is April 4th is the final day to
April
be putting
4th.
Things
we
out.
Might
but
have
that,
to stretch that a little
we
bit.
May have to. The problem with the spring cleanup time is that it gets sort of toward the beginning ends of the time when the crews really have to begin preparing for the tulip time activity. So it's not as if, you know, we have an unlimited back end in terms of how late this can go, but chances are pretty good it's going to have to be extended at some point, just given the fact that people are still, you know, I can still take some snow out of my out of the end of my driveway too. So as I've jokingly said to a couple of reporters, we will not be accepting any chunks of ice, however, this year. That cleanup comes in August. So, no, but it's a great program the city offers. People take advantage of it. You know, be good neighbors, of course. You know, put the stuff in front of your house, not your neighbor's house.
Right.
And, you know, 98.95% of the people adhere to that kind of rule. We get a few bad actors every year that causes some complaints and consternations in neighborhoods. But bottom line, it's a great program. People enjoy it. And let's clean the town up.
Okay, and I had the president of Tulip Time in here the other day, and he says tulips are right on schedule.
Really? I was downtown yesterday looking at a couple of the beds, and they're just starting to break through the break through the dirt. So.
It doesn't take long, though. You got a few nice days. And
right.
They really,
and we'll hope that
it really
happens.
Yeah. We're here with the mayor this morning. 395-1450 is our number, and after spring cleanup comes the budget times.
Yes, exactly. Exciting times.
That's
actually,
time.
It has not been a lot of fun the past few years, and it's still a pretty tough thing. I talked to the city manager yesterday, and he told me that the staff has put together a budget that is balanced and is in good shape. We'll see what council does when it looks at it. We have those budget meetings kind of the week after spring break, so we get to enjoy spring break. And then we go into multiple nights of budget hearings. All of those meetings, of course, are open to the public. So anybody who wants to come and see the deliberations, see what the presentation's about, is certainly more than willing to do or more than happy to be there. We like having it. But ultimately, under the charter, we have to approve a budget by the first meeting in May.
I believe we have a call.
Okay.
Good morning. You're online with the mayor.
Hi. Mayor, have you taken a ride on Lincoln Avenue between 24th and 32nd?
This morning or yesterday?
Anytime. In the last 3-4 months.
Sure.
Okay, well, when they first redid that road, it was really a roller coaster. Now if you go down the road, you can't believe how many cracks and stuff are in that new asphalt. I just can't believe how rotten of a job they did on that road.
I know that there have been some of the city transportation folks and management folks who have been in some conversations with the contractor on that project. I don't know the exact status of it, but certainly people with the city are aware that
I hope they do something about it because, I mean, that's a brand-new road.
Right.
I mean, they can't tell me the weather did that to that road. It was poor before that, and the same thing on 24th Street. That road was beautiful, too, but if you go up and down there, you'll see how many cracks and stuff that the asphalt don't look like it was right.
So the city crews and management know about it, and they're in some discussions with it. I don't know the exact status of it, but it's
just
clearly
look into it. Okay,
you bet. Absolutely.
Thank you.
We'll do. Thank you.
Thank you. All right. Yes. If you'd like to talk to the mayor, 395-1450 is the number this morning, and we have some other things to talk about here as well, like. The annual meetings and the hearings will be coming up.
So early April, a lot of those meetings. The budget hearing will be There'll be the second meeting in April, okay, which is on a Wednesday, as always, is when the budget is first introduced. Then the budget hearing happens on the first meeting in the month of May, and then it's approved that time as well. So okay, the budget doesn't kick in until July 1, but basically, well, it's a 12-year process now, but after the first of the year, city staff really gets in high gear in preparing the following year budget. And all then right. April is when the council really dives in deeply.
All right, something a little more button and exciting. We got a nice gift for the Windmill Island project.
Indeed, we've gotten lots of nice gifts. The big news in the past couple of weeks is that the Richard and Helen DeVos Foundation donated $250,000 toward the mill, which is incredibly generous from an incredibly generous family. Obviously, a name and family that is well known in West Michigan. Live much of the time in the Grand Rapids area, but certainly have had properties here in Holland and still have a place on the lake. Wonderful people, very generous, and we're thrilled to have been the recipient of their generosity on this project. Overall, the project stands at we've received some other additionally nice gifts, and the project is in good shape. The windmill is repaired now, and coming up on April 19th, I'll check my calendar in a minute just to make sure, is the kind of rededication of the windmill. It's in conjunction with the opening of the island for the season. This will be the second year that there'll be a 5K run associated with it, but ultimately it'll be, I think they're calling it the turning of the blades. They hope okay. to have the blades spin again, so it'd be nice if Mother Nature cooperated with us and get a little bit of wind to see yes. those things spin. But ultimately, that's going to be a wonderful rededication time for the island and for the mill. And the overall funding is coming in quite strong. We're waiting on a couple of pretty sizable grants. We should find out one toward the end of this month, and the other one is going to be a few months out. And if those come in, we'll be in great shape. So we're still accepting some donations. I think we're going to sort of go till April, May-ish time frame to wrap up the campaign if people want to contribute, and there will be a monument for people who do contribute and those kinds of things. So it's been a great community project, and I think once the improvements really start kicking in at the park, people will really come to appreciate
oh, yes.
that as
yeah.
more than just a spot that you take Aunt Millie when she visits from Cleveland.
Well, let's see. I was there for the first dedication when George Romney and
right.
Bernard were up on the platform, the walk around the windmill.
Yes.
And it was quite a day.
Indeed, indeed. Yeah. And, it'll be 50 years ago next year.
Really?
So 1965 is when that happened. And so 2015 will be the 50th anniversary
yeah.
of that happening. And the goal is to have a lot of the improvements done to the island in anticipation for its 50th anniversary year. The entirety of it probably won't be done, given just the nature of some of the grant cycles and the amount of construction that will have to take place on some of the bridge and pathway work. But certainly a lot of improvements will be taking place, and then the plans will be in place, and the timing will be in place for the rest of it as well.
You get ready to do some walking.
Do some walking. We can even bring a stroller or a bicycle if you'd like.
Yes, you can.
Yeah.
All right. 395-1450 is the number if you'd like to talk to the mayor here this morning, and we'll take a moment out for a word, and then we'll be right back. As we get a word up here, I guess we can't right now. Okay, we're here with the mayor, and
I can give you a word. I don't know.
Give us a good word.
Let's see. Spring. Let's go with that.
Spring is good.
Yes.
Yes.
We'd like to have that word cross our lips more often, I suspect.
We certainly would, and maybe next winter will not be as difficult as the past winter.
It'll be interesting to see what the amount of snow we have will do to lake levels. We expect that they'll go up because
yes.
of it, but it'll be interesting to see how much they'll go up.
Right.
So time will tell.
I'm sure it will. All right. 395-1450 is the number if you'd like to talk to the mayor, and I guess nobody wants to talk to you this morning.
Yeah.
So we'll have to talk to each
All
other.
Right. It's like being at home. Nobody wants to talk to me.
Right. Is the city all ready for tulip time?
I don't know that we're quite there yet.
Okay.
If you go downtown, for example, one of the things, you'll still see that there are a few of the big urn pots that
right.
have flowers in them in the summertime that
right.
still have all the Christmas decorations in them from the Christmas holiday season. That is because it was so cold that everything froze solid and they couldn't get the stuff out. And they're still having, with a couple of them, a tough time getting them thawed out sufficiently to be able to pull the thing. So I wouldn't say we're quite ready for tulip time yet, but I will say that come, you know, May 1st, that time frame, we'll certainly be ready for the festival.
Well, even the Christmas decorations are not ugly.
No, they're not terrible, but you look at them and you say, it feels like Christmas, but I'm pretty sure that was a couple of months ago. So that's the reason why the cold does a number on the ability to pull that stuff out of the dirt.
Yeah. All right. Will Holland be getting some of the money from Lansing to take care of streets?
Yes. How exactly that formula will break down, I don't think we know quite yet, but certainly we will. Bottom line is, and I think many people would agree with this, most people would agree with this, is the way we fund roads in Michigan is insufficient.
Right.
We have a 19 cent excise tax on a gallon of gasoline. That goes into transportation funding. In terms of, do we have a call coming in?
Yes, we do have a call.
Let's go that and we can. Sure.
Yes, you're on line with the mayor.
Good morning. I'm a firm believer in community participation. And I'm wondering with Windmill Island if there could be planks that have people's name on them, contributors, or if there are bricks. I've seen it done with bricks. Or close by, up in Grand Haven, they put people's names on the planks on the walkway out to the lighthouse. I think if people can participate in that way. I've also seen the case of a church where we rebuilt a barn of one of the members that went down. But if you can get people involved, get their names on things, I think that helps.
Yeah,
very true. And we have had tremendous participation in this project from people from across the community. There will be I don't exactly know what it's going to look like, but there'll be some sort of a monument that will have the names of contributors on it close to the windmill. So that is being planned. There will be, in the upcoming week or so, an advertisement that will run in the local paper listing the names of all the contributors. But there will be some sort of permanent indicator on the island for those who have contributed.
Okay.
Would you put my name on a tulip?
The tulips last so long. You give me a Sharpie and we'll see what we can do.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. 395-1450 is the number here if you'd like to talk to the mayor this morning.
Yeah, we were talking a bit about transportation funding in Michigan, and 19 cents is the excise tax, the amount that goes into transportation funding from a gallon of gasoline. That has remained unchanged for over 20 years. It does not fluctuate with the price of gas, so gas goes to $3, it stays at 19 cents for the tax, goes to $4, it's 19 cents for the tax. By way of example, Hawaii, that has a lot of snow plowing to worry about and a lot of weather-related issues to think about with its road system, has 18 cents a gallon. We're low on that end. Plus, if you look at what our neighboring states, ones who have to deal with the kinds of weather conditions we do, Wisconsin and Illinois, Indiana, Ohio, Wisconsin spends two times as much per person on its road system than we do. Illinois, I think, spends closer to three times per person. Indiana, Ohio also spends significantly more on a per capita basis for their road systems. So, you know, clearly, part of it is you always want to be smart with what you're doing. You want to be smart with the money, but with the increased cost of asphalt and of concrete and the decreased amount of people driving plus the increased fuel efficiency in cars, so people are buying less gas, costs are going up, revenues are going down, and the amount per gallon is just simply insufficient. Now, I think most people recognize that that's the issue. The tougher nut to crack is, okay, what do you do about it? Where do you find that additional revenue? And that's where you're finding lots of competing plans. The Snyder administration floated a plan. Some Republican members of the House and Senate floated a plan. Democratic members have floated kind of a House and plan. Members have floated a plan. And it's easier to criticize the other party's plan ultimately than what it is to really come around and do something. So this, I think, could be the moment where we figure out a longer-term planning for our transportation system in the state, given the kind of winter we have and the fact that everyone is going to see the net effects of it and the amount of potholes. I mean, ultimately, patching potholes is just that. It's patching. We need to spend much more on a planned, orderly replacement of our roads and streets. And, you know, we do that in the city, but couple of things about that. One, we levy a full mill in addition out of the general fund to do a lot of our street reconstruction stuff. So we get money from the gas tax based on a formula, number of our miles of roads that are serviced, whether they're major roads, it's a different formula, or minor roads, it's a different formula, a lesser formula. So we get money that comes in from the state based upon gas tax receipts plus miles of, or multiplied by miles of roadways. But those sorts of things really primarily take care of snow plowing issues and some resurfacing and patching kinds of things. When we do major reconstruction work, dig it up, replace the infrastructure, all those kinds of things, that typically will come directly from the extra money we levy. So we already in the city have been levying extra money to try and keep up with our street system. And while I think we're in better shape than many other Michigan cities, I don't think any of us would sit here and say, boy, our streets are perfect.
Got a call here. Good morning. You're online with the mayor.
Yeah, just a comment about Grasscup Road. There's nothing been done to that in 25 years.
The issue with Grasscup is twofold. One is certainly it needs some attention to it, but the plan with Grasscup has been to substantially upgrade it, so make it more like a curbs, gutters, city streets, control some of the low-lying areas to try and get rid of some of that water. Well, if you're going to do that, it's a very, very expensive project, and what you don't want to do is do a resurfacing project on it so 5 years later you tear it up and rebuild the whole road. So clearly it needs some work. It's scheduled out for a few years. I think we're probably going to have to take another look at that plan, given the reality of road funding and the condition of some of these roads. I don't know what that ultimately looks like, but my hunch is it's going to rise higher in the pecking order, and the nature of the project may well change, given that simply there just isn't money to be completely rebuilding it at this point.
The other thing, according to Bob Janeski, doesn't all go for roads? It goes for like MAG buses and bike paths. What he said.
Bob would know the transportation allocations better than I would out of the gas tax. I do know that Michigan has one of the higher amounts of taxes placed onto our gasoline, but that's because we have the 19 cents excise tax for transportation. But then in Michigan, one of the few states, we also apply the 6% sales tax to it, which goes just into the general state revenues. That's part of the reason why our gas tax is so high, our taxes are so high on the gasoline, because a lot of it is essentially being taxed twice, once for the transportation funding and once just for general state sales tax.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. And let's take a look at the weather forecast. And the weather is brought to you by our friends at the Farmhouse Restaurant in New Zealand. Some old, some new farmhouse flavors in the breakfast menu. Local and fresh and delicious. And the weather forecast is for partly cloudy today with a high of 31. Tonight, a few snow showers, a low of 27. Tomorrow, rain and snow with a high of 42. Friday morning showers and a high of 38 degrees. So
38 balmy.
It's going to be warm.
Yeah, 38 balmy degrees.
38 balmy degrees, yes. Yes, indeed.
it's not the cold, it's the wind chill, it's not the heat, it's the humidity,
right.
something like that. So the run-of-the-mill event, the opening of Windmill Island, is in fact Saturday the 19th. 9 o'clock is kind of the kickoff ceremony to rededicate the windmill, and then the run follows at about 9:30.
Okay, and I can be there, but not for the run.
Come on. There's a walk, too, so it's not just
the walk,
a run.
You can
walk it. There we go.
Yes, indeed. Good morning. You're online with the mayor.
Yeah, Mayor.
Yes, sir.
I've been hearing a lot of talk this morning about roads and stuff, and it's a really off the wall thought, but you got to start brainstorming here. But what I've noticed is downtown Holland with that heated streets, those roads are fine. And they're not getting busted up, and you don't have to pay to plow and things like that. The more we can stick that heated streets through the town, the less repairs I think we're going to have.
You're right.
And it's going to be very expensive, but hey, we got this new power plant coming up,
Right. From a maintenance standpoint, you're exactly right. The lack of having to salt and plow certainly benefits those particular streets. You're right. The initial capital cost of doing something like that is enormous. Plus, there's an operational cost to pay for the maintenance and operation of the snowmelt system. Now,
way to think about it.
Absolutely. And you're also correct that with the new power plant, one of the benefits, not the reason you build a new power plant, but one of the benefits that we're going to capitalize upon is that we'll have five times the capacity for snowmelt. So right now we're pretty much maxed out at the amount of area that we can do snowmelt in because of the amount of heat that the existing plant throws off into the snowmelt system. The new plant will have about five times the current capacity. So that will open up new opportunities for us to snowmelt additional areas. You know, where, when, how, and all those sorts of things have yet to be determined. But, clearly the location of the power plant in a central location, close to downtown, close to some high traffic areas, presents some pretty intriguing possibilities. And, it's a nice, quote-unquote, problem to have to think about where can we use this excess capacity. Because clearly it's incredibly successful, both from a road maintenance standpoint, but also from an exercise and wellness standpoint, as well as a commercial and tourism standpoint.
Might as well do all the sidewalks, too.
Well, right, exactly. All of them, especially in front of my house, right? And as long as we got the sidewalk, maybe my driveway, too, but we probably better not go there.
Yes. One of our mayors had his driveway done, but he did it himself.
I got to go talk to that guy, I think.
That's kind of nice.
Yeah,
too.
Indeed. It'd be nice.
But he had to light the heater every time to make it operate.
I suppose once you start paying the bill for it, you think, boy, I could shovel my driveway or use my snowblower quite a bit for what it costs me in the gas charges.
Yes, I know it. All right. All right. Any last minute things you want to bring up?
Speaking of the BPW for a second, we had the bond sale last week.
Right.
Couple of quick pointers on there, a couple of quick hits on that. Last week, Tuesday, was the retail sale. The investor like you and me could call up a couple of brokers and buy bonds at $5,000 a pop or subscribe to bonds for $5,000 each. We were hoping that there would be some community interest and retail interest of around $25 million in subscriptions.
Mm-hmm.
We ended the day at closer to $60 million in
really?
Subscriptions. So tremendous, tremendous interest, which is really wonderful. The next day, so last week Wednesday, was the institutional investor subscription event.
Mm-hmm.
And so there was, about $100 million or so left over to be sold on the institutional sale. And that sale lasted about an hour and 15 minutes, I think was the number,
wow.
Before we were actually oversubscribed on those bonds. And the interest rate was tremendous. So it was a remarkably successful event and demonstrated the wise fiscal stewardship of the project and of the community, really.
Good morning. You're online with the mayor.
Yes, good morning.
Good morning.
Have a generic question. Riding around, I noticed that the police cars and emergency vehicles never have their headlights on during the day. Is there a reason why?
I frankly have no idea.
Okay.
I don't know. My hunch is because the vehicles probably don't have the automatic light feature and so people just don't turn them on. That's my guess, but it's just a guess.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, we'll have to watch them a little closer, huh?
I guess, yeah. I'm always concerned when the police do have their lights on. Usually it's the red ones.
Good morning. You're online with the mayor. Hello.
Good morning.
And I guess they hung up on us.
All right.
395-1450. Still have time for a call or two here on our Talk of the Town this morning with the mayor. And I get a lot of talk about that. The police cars are not, they're speeding or they're...
Right.
Well,
right.
I always figure sometimes there's a cause for that because having been associated with another police department one time, you go to a call and you don't want to have the lights, no siren, you just want to get there as fast as possible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a tough gig to be sure. And if you get the if anyone ever gets the opportunity to go on a ride along and spend a shift, even a few hours with a police officer, whether it's a City of Holland police officer, whether it's county sheriff or state patrol, whomever it is, you will quickly gain a newfound appreciation for the work that they do. I mean, so often many of us have interactions with the police in less than ideal circumstances, right? You get pulled over for speeding, or a car, you get rear-ended and the police come, or heaven forbid, you know, your house is a victim of a crime or something like that. When you see the amount of skill that it takes to be a police officer in this era, half the time, and sure, there's law enforcement associated with it, but half the time it's a lot of counseling and negotiating and just dealing with people. It's pretty impressive.
Right. Good morning. You're online with the mayor.
Hey, I got a question. Maybe he can change the law. A friend of mine, I ain't saying who, but people might know, October the 6th of this year, he got hit on his bicycle. The guy kept going. He didn't even stop. And he got the paper that says, well, it's a misdemeanor for a hit and run. But people got hurt real bad. Probably been a felony, but he didn't get hurt that bad. But he did go to the hospital and the ambulance, the police come. How come it's a misdemeanor for a hit and run? It should be a felony completely. And maybe the mayor can talk to the prosecutor and sit down and change the law about that. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks for that call. The caller correctly notes that ultimately it's the county prosecutor that decides what kind of charges should be brought in the particular circumstance. And, you know, I have never been a prosecutor, so I don't know exactly the things that go into their thinking, but I have to believe that, you know, the severity of the injury, we can't just essentially for every event, even ones that could potentially be serious, we can't just simply decide to, put people in prison. It just it's not a cost-effective way of doing it. Sometimes, frankly, we make mistakes. A little bit of there but the grace of God go I sort of situation. And for those instances, maybe misdemeanors are appropriate. But ultimately, the county prosecutor, who's an elected position, his office makes those calls. And if the public is unhappy with the way that the prosecutor does his or her job, then there's opportunity every, I think, 4 years to replace that person with somebody else.
Okay,
but
well,
we're fortunate that we've got, I think, in my opinion at least, good prosecutors both in Allegan and Ottawa County. So I'm not advocating anything like that. But that's the check and the balance in terms of if people are happy or unhappy with the way the prosecutor's office is being operated, much like the mayor's office or council or whomever.
Will Holland be participating in the mayor's exchange this year?
I don't know that we are. We've kind of gotten away from it a little bit through the budget process and, so a little bit out of sight, out of mind. I don't know. It'll be one of the things I suspect we may talk about at our council budget session.
Usually the council decides whether they can afford to do it or not.
Afford to do it, and it's a timing question too. We've got a bunch of relatively younger council members, so a lot of people who, in fact, I think almost all of our members of council work. So it becomes a question about the ability to get away as well. So,
well, I hope that if they do, they get a nice city to
We have had some very good exchanges in the past. It's a valuable program. It just takes time to do, and it's one of those kinds of things that money questions and timing questions.
Okay. Hey, thanks very much for being here
Duke,
this morning.
Always a pleasure. Thank you.
I'll be back with more after the talk.